Investors flock to the safety of gold.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, gold hits a record high thanks to new worries about the global economy. But first, where's Wall Street? The Dow is down about 20 points right now at 11,387. The NASDAQ up just a hair. The S&P 500 down just a fraction of a percent. Let's turn now to Julie Nieman, an analyst with Smith, Moore & Company. She joins us now live from St. Louis. Good morning, Julie.
Morning, Jeremy.
So what's the deal? Why is everybody buying gold?
Well, there's no demand for gold. Industry isn't buying it because it's so expensive. Jewelry. Nobody's buying jewelry because it's so expensive. What gold is now, it's become an alternative money. Nations can't manipulate it like they can their currencies. And nations are trying to cheapen or devalue their own currencies so consumers can afford to buy more of what they make and export. That's great for the exporting countries, but it puts all of your trading partners at a huge disadvantage. They retaliate by cheapening their currencies, and you get into this global conga line going to the bottom here with trade retaliation, trade wars, potential inflation, nobody wins.
So it's this global currency we've been talking about, and I assume that the Fed's action last week to buy an additional $600 billion worth of Treasury bonds played some role here. Is this the effect that Ben Bernanke wanted when he did that to stimulate the economy?
Well, he's got a tough position because his first mission is to take care of the U.S. He wants to get our economy out of the swamp by floating it up on this big sea of dollars, you know, very low interest rates, easy money. And that basically is dumping all this money into the financial markets. That does make the value of the dollar go down, makes our exports more attractive and more attractive for our global trading partners. The problem is all the repercussions I just mentioned. You get into this tailspin, and now you've got a fistfight going on in the schoolyard because every country wants to have the cheapest currency. So that's the consequence of Bernanke's mission last week. So he has two bad sides of this coin.
Okay. Julie Nieman, analyst at Smith, Moore & Company. Thanks.
You bet.
To the Dalai Lama now. Researchers have looked into the economic consequences of a Dalai Lama visit in 159 countries, and wait till you hear what they found. Here's Marketplace's China Bureau Chief, Rob Schmitz.
It turns out the bald, red-robed Nobel Peace Prize recipient is an economic downer wherever he goes. That's thanks to China's leaders. They fume each time they see the face of Tibetan independence sitting down with one of their trading partners.
They usually say that in terms of economic retaliation, you're just going to have to look what happens. It usually implies that people should look out for some fallout in the future.
Economist Nils Hendrik Klan helped author the study. He found that countries hosting the Dalai Lama lose, on average, 8% of their trade with China in the 2 years following the visit. Klan says this Dalai Lama effect sends a clear message about doing business with China.
The way we usually interact among each other in terms of trade and diplomacy might not be the way that countries will interact in the future with these new rising economies.
The results, by the way, didn't hold for every country. President Obama met with the Dalai Lama earlier this year, and it led to some good karma. U.S. exports to China are on track for a record-setting year. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation Defender, helping doctors, lawyers, and small business owners monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. ReputationDefender.com. By Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio. And by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight nearly 500 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Start spreading the news.
This is a Manhattan-bound
We're going to be broadcasting from New York for the next few months and thought we'd start things off this week with some of the people who make the economy here what it is. Today, we focus on food. New York City has almost 19,000 restaurants, and right at the top of the lists that rank the best ones, you'll usually find a restaurant called Danielle. Well, today, we welcome the chef and owner, Danielle Boulud. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. You're welcome.
I want to start by asking you, You've got 5 restaurants in New York. You've got a front row seat to the economy right now. How have you felt the recession and the recovery in your restaurants?
It's all about value and how people trust the people who give you value for your money. People care about indulging to themselves. There's a lot of luxury they can spare, but fine dining is not the one they should just get rid of.
What is a person to do to have an economical but delicious meal?
I would say, for example, there is one dish who is a pork shoulder. You buy a 7-pound pork shoulder. You put it in a pot with some sweet potatoes, and there is all kind of spice and fruit and wine, white wine and root vegetable, and you braise that for 4 hours. You take it out, and you have this amazing meal for a real affordable cost, real affordable.
Okay, now I'm sure you're used to doing things very quickly. I'm going to ask you a couple of quick questions and quick answers.
Yep.
Most stressful part of your day?
Getting up in the morning.
All right. When you go out to dinner in New York, do you tip 20% even if the service is bad?
Often 20 plus.
Even if it's bad service?
Yeah, because for me, everybody can have a bad day.
What's the best cheap eat in New York that is a restaurant that you don't own?
Daisy May Barbecue.
All right. And finally, assuming that New York is the number one food city in the country, what is the second best food city in the country?
That I'm going to get really hurt if I say that. But I would say then certainly Chicago, it's the most amazing city behind with New York.
Well, Daniel Boulud, it has been an honor to have you on the show in our first week in New York. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome, and I look forward to speak to you soon again.
And finally, while we're on the subject of food, a nutrition professor at Kansas State University says, put down those expensive diet books. It's all about the calorie count. He limited himself to mostly Doritos, cookies, and Twinkies for 2 months, and he lost 27 pounds. How'd he do it? He made sure not to exceed 1,800 calories a day. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Over in the UK, people don't really have to pay much for health care and education. The government's got it. Big budget cuts mean that's changing and causing some consternation.
Well, yeah, they said the big society when it was first announced. I said it was the big con.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Bigger society, smaller government, maybe. That story, the rest of the day's business news as well next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.